Now more of Positive Business on AM 790 with your host, Patricia Raskin. Call 437-5000 or toll free 1-888-345-0790. Now more of Positive Business on AM 790 with Patricia Raskin.
Hi, everyone. We are back. You are listening to Positive Business, and I'm Patricia Raskin right here on AM 790 with my great co-host today, Lisa Bergeron, president of Leading Women of New England, leadingwomen.biz. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you, Patricia. It's wonderful to be here on a hot July afternoon. We're ending our show on such a high note about finances and making it friendly and fun. So
that's
I'm in.
And with another powerful woman, Rhode Island, a Rhode Island powerful woman. All right, our guest in the studio is Beth Marshall. Welcome, Beth.
Welcome, Beth.
Thank you.
Beth is a CPA, MBA, Certified Money Breakthrough Method Coach, and owner and CEO at Financially Authentic here in Rhode Island. Beth works with clients to help them learn how to make proactive and powerful financial decisions to support their desired lifestyle. And we're talking about a seven-step system to guide her clients toward better financial clarity and transitioning them from financially stressed to financially skilled. And it's financiallyauthentic.com. So welcome again, Beth. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Glad to be here again.
Yeah. So tell us about how you got started in this line of work.
Yeah, it's a bit of a long story, so I'll make it as short as possible. But I didn't grow up in what you would consider probably the typical family. In my family, my father was a teacher. My mother worked in insurance but had been a teacher for the first few years before I was born. And in my family, my mother was in charge of the money. You know, I worked early, so I was earning money probably by the time I was 12 or 13 years old. And by 15, I had a credit card and a checkbook. Now, that wasn't obviously on my own credit, but it was an extension of my parents' credit, and my mother in particular. And my father as well taught me and my sister all about living within our means and really how to manage our money. And it was only when I got to college that I realized that that was not so much the norm, and that in many ways, I always say it felt like I was the only one that got the memo, because I had a lot of friends that seemed to be opening credit cards and using them like they were their own checkbook, like, oh, yay, I have all this money. And I worked as a CPA for many years for Ernst & Young, 11 years in audit, and then a couple more years in a different role with the firm for a total of 14 years. So I was around money and finance through my work, mostly with business, but I was around people who were dealing with money and numbers all the time. Mm. And for myself, the passion that I have for the work that I do now has really come through understanding as an adult the skills that my parents gave me and how much stability that gave me. I've had three financial freedom points in my life. The first was when I decided to leave an 11-year-old career behind me. It just no longer suited me. I woke up in the morning and I was miserable. And at 32, I just said, I still have time to fix this. And so that was my first point where I said, I have enough money in the bank. I have enough security. I'm going to take a risk and tell the firm that I don't love this job anymore. I'd love to stay with the firm, but I need to do something different. So that was my first financial freedom point. The second one was a few years later, probably about 2 years after that point where I had made that decision, where the HR role or business development role that I was in, with the economy tanking at the end of 2009, the role was eliminated. And so I found myself, you know, laid off and needing to, you know, I had that freak out moment, the prerequisite freak out moment when you get laid off. And then I said, wait, why am I upset? I'm okay. Like, I live within my means. I've got the stability. Mm. And that led to working for someone else for a few years. And then eventually at the end of 2011, something I never thought I'd do, start my own business. And so... Yeah.
But there's a thread that runs through this in all of these financial freedom points.
Yeah.
Because of your background, you had been trained how to have financial security.
Correct.
So you had that, you had the cushion, you had the security.
Right.
So it was easier for you to go through these transitions.
Right.
And that's what you're helping people to do.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm so passionate about it now, because I walk my own talk. You know, being a business owner now, I'm doing some things with money that are a little bit riskier. And I think every business owner has to go through that transition. But I understand, personally speaking, how much financial stability can mean. in terms of having freedom and choice in your life. And that's what I work to give my clients, the professionals and small business owners that I work with now, you know, helping them learn how to intentionally, authentically, and proactively manage their money so that they have freedom and choice.
Right. And you've made another comment pretty consistently is that you always lived within your means. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important on a personal and a business level, because especially when you're in business for yourself, money, there's ebbs and flows. Money comes in sometimes more than other months. And right. you need to really just pace and not say, "Ooh, I got a $50,000 check in, so let me go, you know, spend yeah. wildly," as opposed to saying, "You know what, let mm-hmm. me just continue to take the money that I take every month and bank the rest," because right. you're going to have those months that are dry. So it sounds like that's how you approached and got that financial
yeah,
freedom.
Absolutely. And that's a great point. And the other point that I want to add to that, too, is that the name of my business, Financially Authentic, what that really has come to mean for me and my clients is using money in a way that matters to you. Because it's not always necessarily about the amount. It's what you do with it. Because when you align it with what matters to you, the energy around money completely dissipates. And so that chaotic energy that most people have when they think about money and they're really stressed out, if you pull back and you really start to think about what matters to you and you use your money in that way, it all becomes a whole lot easier, too. So living within your means and then also living in alignment with what it is that matters
to you. Can you give an example of that?
I'll use a personal example. For myself, you know, I used to, when I worked at Ernst & Young, I used to make a nice six-figure salary and, you know, love being at the six-figure level. And, you know, but I would not be so happy, and I would go out and buy cute purses and shoes and things that, you know, made me temporarily happy and made me look good. But now that I live my life, what I find is I still like cute shoes and purses. And, you know, it's not like I don't have them, but I would rather spend them on an experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it's working with a trainer. It's going to get a massage. It's things that matter on my nephews, my two nephews. I'd rather spend it on doing something with them. So that's what I mean about alignment. And I'm just less, you know, I'm not nervous about money when I use it in a way that, that matters.
Right, right. Yeah, I think we do have to step back sometimes.
You know, one of the things that you hear a lot about is it, and I see it, people, even with my friends, I mean, they'll tell you about, you know, their personal life, their sex life, but they don't. They do. I mean, Lisa and I know this. We went out to dinner with someone who told us her whole personal life.
Too much
we needed to know.
Too much information.
Right? But they, I mean, people don't come sit with you and say, "Well, you know what? I'm worth such and such. I've got this many investments in the bank.
Right.
You know, here's what I have in stocks and bonds." People guard that with it. Why is that?
Yeah, there's just a tremendous amount of shame around money in our culture. And from the best I can tell from the clients that I work with, it really has to do with the fact that they just were never taught. And there's a lot of people walking around out there thinking they're the only one. I always say they feel they're the only one that didn't get the memo. Like I said earlier, they feel alone and they feel they're the only one. So they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to bring it up because they feel like everybody else has it figured out but them. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you know, a lot of folks are out there chasing the Joneses, the proverbial Joneses. Don't chase the Joneses because they're my clients and they're not happy either.
No, and I was very fortunate to have parents, and specifically, you know, Patricia, you've met my mother. She was, she's...
You're very much like her.
Yes.
I mean, she
and
was
she
really ahead
was,
of her time.
She was. She was in the financial industry at a firm back in the 70s when, first of all, women weren't even brokers, but she always really led and taught us in a way that taught us about money, its value. We participated in our college education. Mm-hmm. She always talked about money, how to save it, how to manage it. Mm-hmm. And as my grandson says about his grandmother at 27 years old, that she's the smartest woman he knows when it comes to finances. And so it does matter, because what you invest in your knowledge mm-hmm. about money pays in big dividends in the end of the game and how you're going to live your life and again align your choices financially with the life that you want to lead.
Absolutely.
But you know, especially for entrepreneurs and women entrepreneurs like myself and Lisa also, a lot of things that some people would look at as frivolous, and I've heard it, you know, like you said, the massage, whether it's the reflexology or whether it's the coach, you know, people think you're being self-indulgent.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it really an investment in you so that you can move ahead?
Right. First of all, I agree that it's an investment in you. Second of all, I want to go back to the word self-indulgent, because quite frankly, I think there's nothing wrong with that. that especially as a business owner, you are your business's greatest asset. Whether you're a business owner or not, there's nothing wrong with being a little self-indulgent. I think we, particularly as women, although it appeals to men as well, you know, we've all got to take care of ourselves. We're running around in this techno-crazy world where it's so fast-paced. Yeah. And to take a few minutes, whether it's a massage or whatever floats your boat, whatever it is, you know, the phrase self-indulgent often gets a bad rap, but I really don't think there's anything wrong with that. But yes, as a business owner, you are your biggest asset. And to not take care of yourself means that you're not in the best position that you can be to serve the people that you're meant to serve.
All right. And when we come back, we're going to talk about creating financial clarity and that's the key to a life of financial independence. So I want you to really talk about financial clarity, you know, even in terms of the kind of work that we choose.
Right, absolutely. Because it's about having the right tools, the right mindset around money, because I always say the choice isn't always about the money you're going to make at the end of the day.
Right.
And it's how you choose to invest it, spend it, and earn it.
Right.
Good. I'll look forward to hearing that.
All right. Our guest is Beth Marshall. She's a CPA MBA, Certified Money Breakthrough Method Coach, and owner and CEO of Financially Authentic. She's here in Rhode Island. And how can people find you? I know you're coming back on, but before the break, how can people find you?
Sure. It's at financiallyauthentic.com, or email is info@financiallyauthentic.com.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Positive Business. I'm Patricia Raskin with my great co-host Lisa Bergeron from Leading Women of New England, and you can log on to leadingwomen.biz. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back right here on AM 790. You're listening to Positive Business, and I'm Patricia Raskin, right here on AM 790 with my great co-host Lisa Bergeron, who is president of Leading Women of New England. And that website is leadingwomen.biz. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you. And I have just enjoyed our conversation with Beth, because we've had some... This is good stuff, because we were saying, and I said to her during the break, you've got to talk to us about the difference between... the connection between financial and authenticity. We don't hear that together often.
But first, I have to reintroduce you, because not everybody knows who Beth is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jumping
right
in.
That's all right.
I'm at the edge of my seat on her answer here.
Beth Marshall, CPA, MBA, Certified Money Breakthrough Method Coach, and owner and CEO at Financially Authentic, and here in Rhode Island. So, folks, it's a great resource for you. And we're talking about what is financial authenticity and how do you create financial clarity?
Yeah, I think financial clarity to me, and Lisa, I will get back to your question about authenticity, so it's going to circle back into that,
great.
Because I agree with you that, you know, when I tell people what the name of my business is, Financially Authentic, they kind of look at it like, wait, is that an oxymoron? They're kind of contrasting. We're not really sure. I get a lot of quizzical looks, so we'll definitely circle back to that. But financial clarity for me is really, and this is what I work with my clients to help them get, is that when you know your numbers, you have the ability to more proactively handle financial matters. And so many people just aren't taught those basic skills to be proactive, and they find themselves being really reactive and, you know, back on their heels. And then they get in that stressed and manic and chaotic place around money, and then they make difficult decisions. They may put things on credit cards. They may buy things that they don't even want because they're just feeling bad about their situation. The retail therapy, if you will. And I'm not judging that, because I think, you know, we've all done our fair share of retail therapy. I still do from time to time. I just bought myself a new purse this afternoon. So we've all done that, although I was feeling good about it. It wasn't from a point of guilt. But, you know, but it's about helping people get ahead of the eight ball instead of feeling like you're behind it. Because when you're ahead of it, you can really just be much more proactive about the decisions that you're making in your life. And it does take a while if you've been behind the financial eight ball to shift in front. So it's a process, it's a journey, it's not necessarily a destination, you get there and arrive. But where that circles back to financial authenticity, as I said before, I define that as people really getting clear on, you know, what is it that matters to them most? Because when people use money, and Lisa, you said this earlier, and this is a great way of saying it, as a tool, and that's what it is. It's energy, it's a tool. When they start using it as a tool to map out what matters to them and as an expression of that, things get so much calmer. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it with the clients that I work with. You know, that can be everything from examining the beliefs that you grew up with around money, money mindset, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there can be, I've had my own beliefs. You know, I grew up in a household, as great as my parents were around money, they were both employed, and somehow I walked away, and understandably so, the financial security came from a paycheck and benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started to think about, after financial freedom point number two, being laid off, working for someone else primarily on commission, I started to get really, really triggered. And I went, what the heck is going on here? So lo and behold, I had my own beliefs. I also had another belief that it was too hard to be an entrepreneur. Why would I want to do that? Had to work through that. So sometimes they're stuck in there. And so financial authenticity is everything from looking at the money beliefs that you have, clearing through those, looking at your actual numbers, and then aligning all of that to these are the goals and the dreams that I have for my life. And here's where I want to go. I always say there's kind of this concept of financial GPS. Here's where you are now, wherever it is. It could be good, it could be bad, it could be better. And then there's where you want to go. Money is the tool to get you from point A to point B.
Do you also think that being financially authentic has to do with when you buy something or spend something that you feel good about it?
Yeah, there definitely is a sense of, I guess the word that's coming up for me is congruence. There's a sense of congruence. There's that, you know, when I went to buy that bag this afternoon that was unplanned, it was cute. It was on sale. And I went, you know what? I really do need a new bag. I've been meaning to get one. It just happens to be there. Okay. And I felt good about it. I knew that I had the resources to be able to do that. It wasn't necessarily in my plan to buy that today, but it felt okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, switching gears a little bit, so we were talking during the break about starting businesses, and many people out there are in business for themselves, and sometimes one of the biggest fears of being in business for yourself is money piece.
Right.
Not money coming in, losing accounts, and so making sure that you're, as you said, you're not reacting to the ebbs and flow of finance, that you have and feel good about where your energy is put, and so you can sleep at night because you've created cushions for yourself, made some good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think there's definitely, and we were talking during the break, that there's a couple of different groups of entrepreneurs. There's those who are born and bred entrepreneurs, those who have known since the day they were born they were risk takers. And I think, you know, sometimes they'll do things, you know, like they'll leverage credit cards. And I think any new business owner that you speak to probably has done that at some point in the time, invested before they were ready to do that. And what's been interesting about me becoming a business owner in the last year and a half is that I used to have a lot of my own rules about money. You know, as a person, as a non-business owner, I didn't carry credit card debt. It just was not how I was raised. I'm not judging anyone who does. I have lots of clients who do. But that's just how I was raised. As a business owner, I had to change my mentality completely to, okay, I have resources available to me. They may not be the resources that I would have planned to use, but I need to think differently. I also had to get to a point where I had to think about using some of my retirement funds, because I'm convinced with every bone in my body that what I do to serve people really makes a difference. Because financial clarity is great just for the sake of financial clarity. It gives you peace, it gives you freedom, and it gives you choice. But it also has a bigger play, because when you have financial clarity, you can have choice. When you have choice, you have the ability to make a bigger contribution, whether that be through a business, as a business owner, expressing yourself in that way, or not, just simply making a bigger contribution whichever way you find. And when you can contribute in a bigger way, you can be connected to the world and to other people.
How about these people out there now, the billionaires? Sarah Blakely just committed half of her income to charity.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible that the Bill Gates, they're all, Warren Buffett is leaving significant money to charity, which is part of their belief system. They're using their money, their wealth, to better the world.
Right.
I hope they're leaving some money to their family, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's important, too. I mean, I find myself doing things like that. I just, on a personal note, I'm walking for the marathon for the Jimmy Fund walk in September, and I'm donating a portion of my business proceeds toward that as
well. Fantastic. So we all can contribute differently.
All right, we're going to have to close, which too bad, because there's such good information from all the guests today. So tell us how people can find you, and you work one-to-one with people.
Yes, absolutely. I work with individuals, couples, and small business owners, and you can find me at financiallyauthentic.com or via email at info@financiallyauthentic.com. And for anybody who's listening today, if you wanted to get a taste of a little bit beyond what we've talked about today, I do have a free 30-minute audio available on the homepage of my website. You can just go there, and on the right-hand side, there's a small icon there. You can just put your first name and your email, and it's 3 steps to living a financially authentic life of your dreams that gives you a little bit more information about me and how I work and the steps in my process.
And I'm very pleased to say that the last time you were here, someone heard the show and you're working with them.
Absolutely. Very quickly contacted me and talk about divinely being contracted to work with someone. That is very much the case with this person.
Well, that's why we do. That's why I do the work I do here. It's all about connecting. And really to help make the world a better place. And having peace of mind around your finances is a big, big piece. Mm. So thank you, Lisa, for co-hosting.
Well, thank you. And it's been such a pleasure to be part of an afternoon filled with powerful women who are powering up all of our collective success.
Thank you. And thank you, Beth, so much.
Thank you very much, Patricia and Lisa.
All right. And remember, folks, on my program tomorrow on Saturday, Patricia Raskin Positive Living on Pro, WPRO AM 630 from 3 to 5 on health and wellness and lifestyle. And until we meet again, stay healthy, stay happy, get the support you need, and know you can make your dreams come true. Until then, I'm Patricia Raskin right here on AM 790 in Positive Business. And thank you, Lisa Bergeron, again.
Thank you.
All right.